In nothing be anxious, but in all things with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Let us read responsively selection number 13. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place?
He that
He shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Who is this King of glory?
The Lord is strong in battle, the Lord mighty in battle.
Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in.
Who is this King of glory?
The Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Let us unite in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, whose goodness and mercy have been with us all the days of our lives, We are grateful for the assurance that thou art with us and with all of thy people at this moment, and that thy Spirit will guide and sustain us. We humbly ask thy blessing upon those who are sick and in distress, and upon all who participate constructively in the healing process. We commit to thy care all who study and teach upon this campus. Send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead us, and mercifully grant unto us teachable minds and understanding hearts through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. On behalf of my colleagues in the faculty and administrative staff, I welcome all of you who have come to this campus for study, worship, and service. In particular, I welcome those of you who began your studies here yesterday. I assure you that we have not removed our eyes from the essentials of excellence in theological education, and that we have not forsaken the ground rules of honesty, kindness, and firmness exercised with flexibility and fidelity. I think it altogether appropriate to say a special word of welcome to Dr. Mean, who is to be with us for a full calendar year as visiting professor of Christian missions. We are honored and grateful to God for his presence and for the presence of his family in our community, and indeed for the presence of every member of our instructional staff. In view of rumors and of recent statements in the press, you have a right to expect a comment from me this morning. With regard to the resignations, let me say two things. They were resignations, and they were received and accepted with regret by the Executive Committee of the Board of Trustees. With respect to news releases from the administration and trustees, let me state a fact, make a promise, and express a hope. The fact is that in February 1962, the Board of Trustees authorized a news release related to the work of its Committee on Instruction. The promise is that in my report to the Board of Trustees, I shall recommend that they authorize a more comprehensive news release at their annual meeting on February 18, 1965. The hope is that in the meantime, the Friends of Theological Education will exercise due restraint concerning public statements about the life and work of this school. I think I should add here that on more than one occasion, the trustees, either in annual session or through their appropriate committees, have stated unanimously that news releases concerning the search for a sound solution of an exceptionally complex theological and interpersonal problem on which they have been engaged since 1961 should be released through the administration of this institution. Let us face for a moment the question, education for what? In the perspective of verses 11 and 12 of the fourth chapter of Ephesians. And his gifts were that some should be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipment of the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. And I want us to face this question, education for what, as set forth with special attention to the affirmation that it is God's intention through his servants to equip God's people for work in his service. Ministers are servants of God. The purpose of their vocation is to equip God's people for work in his service. Preparation for this meaningful task involves, in the first place, a process of growth in Christian maturity. This process of growth springs from a personal commitment to God. It is stimulated and encouraged in the home and in the church. It is influenced deeply by social relations in the human community. It is clarified and strengthened in college and university and seminary. It continues throughout the human pilgrimage, speaking the truth in love. We grow up in Christian maturity in order that we may help to equip God's people for work in his service. In the second place, preparation for the Christian ministry requires systematic and thorough study. The pastor, the missionary, the evangelist, the teacher, the chaplain is a theologian. He is an interpreter of the mind of God. He has a coherent interpretation of life, including a knowledge of man, of the relation of man to God and to his neighbor, of the culture in which man and his neighbor live, and of the direction of social change. He preaches the gospel with accuracy and ardor, explicates and advocates the Christian way of life amidst the ambiguities and dilemmas of a complex society, and lives by faith in God. And in the third place, the education of men and women to equip God's people for work in his service involves human suffering. Although we have no complete rationale of suffering, we draw attention to three ideas concerning it. In the first place, God is with us in our suffering. He cares for his children in time of trouble, and nothing can separate them from his love. In the second place, if we have teachable minds, we learn something from suffering. It has been said of our Lord that he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. We are his servants, and we hear the accents of his spirit as we pass through deep waters of bereavement and grief. And in the third place, in ways which transcend our understanding, suffering prepares us for one major aspect of the ministry to which we are called. The assurance has been stated with great clarity and understanding by Paul, a man who grew in Christian maturity and maintained systematic and thorough study through periods of suffering. Now, this is what he said. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all of our affliction, that we may be able to comfort them that are in any affliction through the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Let us pray. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all.